This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
And once again, I look at the Democrats in front of me, and I realize there is absolutely nothing I can say to make them happy or to make them stand or smile or applaud. Nothing I can do. I could find a cure to the most devastating disease, a disease that would wipe out entire nations, or announce the answers to the greatest economy in history, or the stoppage of crime to the lowest levels ever recorded. And these people sitting right here will not clap, will not stand, and certainly will not cheer for these astronomical achievements. They won't do it, no matter what. Five times I've been up here. It's very sad, and it just shouldn't be this way.
You're becoming like my most stable relationship.
Enough said.
So Tyrus is back with us. You know him, of course, as a regular on Gutfeld, a Fox News contributor and host of Maintaining with Tyrus on Outkick. Tyrus, good to have you back. Always love talking with you.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah, I want to give you get your thoughts on President Trump's speech this Tuesday and how he delivered his message, and also how he, like you heard in that clip, clapped back a little bit at the Democrats who couldn't find anything positive about him. Once again.
No, and I even liked how he just turned his position and just spoke to the Republicans. It was a waste of time. And I think that is probably the most telling thing about the extreme left right now, is that there is no reason to even waste your breath debating him and talking to him. And also that works in real life. Like, people who just have propaganda in their head, that you cannot sway them, you cannot convince them. It's best just go about your day, save yourself the energy trying to have an intelligent conversation or going over things that are good for this country. Listen, if a little boy who is kicking cancer's ass and has dreamed to be a police officer is made an honorary Secret Service agent, that doesn't get you to cheer. You are a deeply, deeply disturbed in any person, and everyone who voted for someone like that needs to realize your child. That could be your parent who's in that way. And when it comes down to it, their agenda and their narrative is more important than people, because that was a no-brainer. Sitting and clapping wasn't better. The signs were laughable. What are you for? I mean, it's just, they, you know, they're playing the I'm not athletic enough to play tennis. What's the little game with the paddles?
Pickleball.
Pickleball, yeah. You know, they raided the pickleball box, and which probably cost taxpayers $2 million for those paddles. I'm sure Doge will let us know that in the next week or two. It's a really tough time for the establishment. And we're also going to see. And he laid out, now you have to sometimes listen to what Trump is not saying when he is saying things. He is laying the tracks to the money laundering and the fleecing of the American taxpayer that's been going on for generations. And we're going to see a lot of the career politicians lose their mind, fight back, try to find extreme things, protest everything, go after Elon Musk. And what is it they're going him after for finding overspending, which they should all be in for because it helps their constituents. But I think the problem is that when you have millionaires, 100 millionaires, and jobs that pay less than $200,000 a year after tax, before taxes, that explains a lot of the aggressive pushback and the fake claims and the outrageous comments calling him Hitler. You know, he's destroying America. He's a threat to America. No, he's a threat to you.
Mm-hmm.
You started this fight, and it didn't work. And I think he said it best. How'd that work out for you?
Yeah.
And the more we're seeing, and it's on the Republican side too. We got millionaires that shouldn't be millionaires on the Republican side too. It's just that they seem to be taking, or at least at this particular point. Now, I said, I think the ones who are hands are dirty will start to get nervous as the numbers come out. I think when we, and again, I don't know if this is fact, but I feel like it is. You know, I just feel like the ones who are most outspoken, Pocahontas, Bernie Sanders, I think there's a reason for that. I think Pelosi's uncomfortable look on her face, sitting there looking like Jinx in the documentary, like, they're on to me, you know. So I think that's the bigger play here. And I think when the names come out, and it's more important than the Epstein list, and it's more important than those things, because this has been a criminal enterprise that has been generational. There's no reason that any lifetime senator or congressman should be a multimillionaire. I'm talking like the lowest end is 12 million, you know, and I think that is all of that is our taxpayer dollars. And I would like to see that return to the American taxpayer. And so hopefully we're going to get to and that's where it's coming.
Yeah.
And I think that's what is the game in town. That's what we need to play focus on. And they're going to play all the cards, but it doesn't work anymore. Calling him a racist, that's a little hard to do. And I hate to even mention the fact that that beautiful young man who's living his dream and his proud father were black.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a necessary detail. Yeah,
it shouldn't even have to mention it. But because they can't call him racist, because what they would have done, had that boy been white, they would have said he couldn't have found a person of color in need. They would have done something. And so now they're reduced to tariffs. All of a sudden, they're trying to convince that tariffs show up at your house, eat your food, raise your children under their moral values. You know, they're trying to make tariffs of this monster. And I'm in California today, and I got two shows today. And I was at the airport, and a reporter ran up to me and asked me, you know, what are my thoughts on the fear of the households about tariffs? And I said, how many times have you come home and seen a tariff sitting on your porch waiting for you? I said, go outside and play.
Yeah.
Like, this is part of the bit. They tariff us. All he's saying is, you tariff us $20, we're going to tariff you the same 20 back. Seems pretty fair to me. And if they say, oh, no, we won't do that, we'll lower our tariffs, then it's called a negotiation. So maybe just let the adults in the room handle it, or educate yourself in how this thing works, or see how one-sided it has been. Don't just listen to MSNBC, who will lie and say anything at this point to try to create issues and not there. They've run out of. So I think it's just going to be interesting how desperate they get.
I'm curious, this is our poll question for our audience today, if the Democratic Party can recover in time to make gains in the midterm election. Traditionally, the minority party does do better in a midterm election. Do you think that the Democrats can get their act together in time?
I think anyone who is running against a Democrat who was sitting in that building that night does not run photos of them refusing to stand at survivors' families, families of people who have been lost, the little boy, and say, this is the person that you want to represent you. I think they've, you know, the fact that they will still say that men in women's sports is a good thing. Those things, those narratives and propagandist garbage talking points, they will stick to them, and it should be a pretty easy campaign. I think America is awake. more than it has ever been. I think now we're starting to realize that you just don't vote because somebody's pretty or somebody's the first of, you know, or somebody used to be a celebrity. You have to look at the content of the character and their body of work. And so hopefully you'll start to see that. Now, that means that you get a real Democrat who's willing to work, because everything that President Trump is not doing extreme right things. He's doing middle of the road things. A good portion of his cabinet are Democratic roots. So it's not like he's not open to work to the other side of the other side. He literally will listen to a ex-wrestler smartass on Fox TV talking about, hey, what if we treated the cartel like terrorists? Wouldn't it be easier for the military? I mean, tax write-off for no taxes for veterans and police officers. And look what he's doing with taxes. So, I mean, this man will work with anyone. So instead of trying to load your pockets with donor money, because that's what it really is, the more extreme they sound, the more money they get. Do your job. Serve the people. Yeah. That's what the point of this was. But they're only serving themselves because, again, any senator that's on TV more than two or three times a week, that means they're not doing their job.
Yeah.
You want to be a pundit? Get a job. There's like a million open in MSNBC.
Yeah.
Do your job.
You're spot on. Of course you're spot on. Tyrus, we love to hear you're still touring. Look forward to when you get yourself back to the St. Louis area, of course. We'd love to have you. And love seeing you on Gutfeld.
Yeah, Pappies, I am missing
yes,
you.
Pappies is always happy to have you. They're always thinking about the next time to get to visit with Tyrus. So come back soon and enjoy California. It's beautiful there. Hopefully they can get things. Maybe you can fix California while you stop by. Two shows, you should be able to do that.
Hey, you know what? Real funny. So the other night, I got like 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, time flies when you work. I get a text at 2 o'clock in the morning from the president who says, hey, bro, I just filled California up with water. Governor's pissed and sent pictures. LOL post. Who doesn't love this president?
Wow. I just filled California up with water. That's hilarious.
Governor's pissed. LOL. Here's pictures. Post them. That's our president.
That's our president. And you know what? I always think of you before the election. You were out there saying, this isn't even close. And nobody else was really
listening to country music, drinking a beer.
That's
with
true.
My hand in my fish pond.
I saw that video.
I wasn't even watching TV. There's no point. It's over. And because the American people have been completely awake and caught up in the feelings and stuff. And unfortunately, I think we all went through it. But to be honest with you, I think it was good for the president, too. He's much more decisive. He's less combative. He's working with people that probably 6 years ago he would not even think about working with, which is better for the country. So I think all around America, we went through a tough period, but I think we have perspective now. And I think everyone is feeling the excitement about getting back to being American, going back outside, enjoying your family. If faith is your thing, being able to support your faith, doing your job, getting an honest day's work for an honest day's pay, not having to worry about somebody working under the table and, you know, and all these other things, and our borders are safe, because safe borders lead to so much any other things. And it's a good feeling right now.
Well, we are always excited to have you on the show, and we hope you kill it in California. Thanks for being with us and fitting us in. We always appreciate you.
Thank you. You guys have a great week. Go
yep.
Red Sox.
Oh, come on now. He snuck that in. That was really sneaky.
Yeah, it was kind of right out the door.
That was like a he made a hard choice there.
Did he say that and then hang up?
I hung up on him.
Oh, did you?
Well,
maybe you made a choice.
I have to end the conversation. He said he had 10 minutes. He gave us like 12 or 13. I don't know. He kept going.
Well, he's generous until the Red Sox thing.
We say our pleasantries, a little behind the scenes thing, and I want to hang up on them before when they click, so you don't hear that boom that happens yeah. when. Boom. Yeah. That's good.
Thank you. Michael Winslow's going to be here tomorrow.
Are you practicing?
I am.
Don't do that.
I'm gonna say, Michael, listen to what it sounds like when we hang up the phone.
Don't. Don't show him your tricks tomorrow.
Why? So it would be great.
Michael Winslow is the voice guy that I know from Spaceballs. I was going to say Airplane. He's an airplane too, isn't he?
I don't know.
Is he?
I don't know Airplane.
It seems like he would be.
He's the sweeps, the beeps, and the creeps.
Well, he's in Police Academy too.
Okay. But he's hilarious, and he does all these voice things. Don't have him on here and try to perform for him. You can't do that.
Here's what I'll do. I'll just record a bunch ahead of time and then play them back for him and have
it just be regular sound effects.
Don't do that.
That was me saying that. It was like an amazing explosion.
Don't do that.
This is me doing dubstep.
Everybody,
it's just like a real song.
Everybody listening will have secondhand embarrassment for you.
That's okay. That's
as long
okay.
as they're listening. Oh, well, Michael Winslow.
Yeah, Michael Winslow.
On the show tomorrow with Ryan Wiggins. Great to have Tyrus on. Go Red Sox. Mm. Still a Tanner Houck fan. Collinsville boy. Doing very well for the Red Sox. Quick break. When we come back, we're going to speak with Congressman Mike Boss. We're going to ask him about that joint address, what it was like to be in that room. He can give us that firsthand account and tell us what it's like to be censured in the House of Representatives. I don't think he's ever been censured, but he was there for it, and he can let us know the latest of what the Republicans are working on with their incredibly small majority. We'll have Congressman Mike Boss on the Annie Fry Show next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Friends, I would do it again. I have to be candid with you. I'm not trying to in some way insult you. This is a matter of principle. This is a matter of conscience. There are people suffering in this country because they don't have health care. I'll close with this. On some issues of matter, that are matters of conscience, it is better to stand alone than not stand at all.
Well, there you have Congressman Al Green saying, I'd do it again. So I don't know if remorse is required or anything after you're censured, but it doesn't sound like he has it. He feels like he was righteous in his cane shaking towards Donald Trump at the joint address, but he is on the other side of a censure right now. Let's talk to the person who presided over this vote, our very own Congressman Mike Bost from Illinois' 12th District. Tell us, well, thank you for fitting us in your busy schedule today.
No problem.
Tell us about the day.
So understand that once the censure is voted on, that is required for the person who being censured has to stand in the well and have the resolution read to them exactly why they are being censured. Now, you can add to that censure to remove them from the chamber and not allow them to vote for a certain amount of days. We chose not to do that during this time. You know, the leadership had to make that choice. But we knew, but when it happens, a speaker pro temp, which I was, cannot be in the chair. So I was there for the vote, presiding over, and as soon as the vote was declared, which that's whenever Speaker Johnson himself came up to then issue the censure and read it into the record. So it was a process that we knew was coming. I got recalled last night, and they said, can you preside over this particular vote? And I said, yeah, sure, naturally. And that has a lot to do with how many hours I spend in the chair, more than anything.
So, Congressman Bost, a censure, give us a little bit of a lowdown of what a censure means. How often does it happen? How serious is it?
It doesn't happen very often, and it has to be a pretty strong crossing of the line. Okay? Congressman Green, on a regular basis, is in it during what we consider the 5-minute speeches, the 1-minute speeches. We'll get up and he'll shake his cane and he'll scream and he'll yell until, if I'm in the chair, until I smack the gavel and say, I go through three things. I said, the gentleman's time is expired. The gentleman's time is expired. And finally, if they do not quit, I can go, the gentleman is no longer recognized. And they will shut his mic off. In this case, it wasn't a case where he was using a mic. And the real issue is that I guess that was what we were weighing out on what the censorship would include, whether it would have a punishment with it. One, it was the first censorship. If he has to do it again, it can include time with suspension of his voting rights. But in this case, when you raise your cane, I didn't even know this, okay? I found this out later. If you raise your cane, we don't have that a lot in the chamber as they did 100 years ago, but you raise your cane and you have the handle in pointed at someone, it is considered a weapon.
Oh.
Okay? And so there was more to that than so there were certain members that wanted to go a lot farther during this time. The speaker chose to say, okay, this is the first time. But he now, Mr. Green, is aware of that there can be other consequences. I would hope that he wouldn't do it. He can say that it was a choice of conscience, but then where that offends me is my conscience is not bothered by the quality of work that's been being done by this administration over the last month and a half. I'm just, that's a difference. I think it's my conscience to save the taxpayers and actually get a government that works right to make sure it's secure for my children and grandchildren.
Yeah.
Congressman Bost, this is Ryan Wiggins.
Hey,
10 Democrats crossed the aisle and voted for censure. Was that expected?
Not necessarily, but it is a case where once you get a bipartisan, that means somebody's woke up and said, yeah, that went a little far. Okay. The whole, and it was a show for him. Like I said, it's not the first time he's done stuff like this, but, it becomes frustrating and we've got to get decorum back. We got to get decorum back. That's all there is to it.
Yeah. Congressman Bost, one of the things that is a driving factor behind all of this is Donald Trump. He's involved, and there are some people who are just so motivated by their distaste for him that anything that follows, as long as they feel like they're doing it for the righteous cause of publicly hating him, they feel okay to do it. And I'm looking at the Democrats and the way a lot of people are reacting to the way they chose to behave during the joint address, behind Congressman Green, the rest of them as well. Right. You were there during that speech. What was your take on their choices that evening?
I think you got to remember that whether it was Joe Biden, Bill Clinton, the list goes on and on of Democrats, Barack Obama. There are certain things in the speech that are positive and you should react positive to them. I've seen Republicans stand and applaud those Democrat presidents. They don't disagree. They don't agree with all their policies. But when somebody talks about a young man that has been awarded special stuff or as a police officer because of his brain cancer, or a family that has suffered by the loss of a loved one, then these are the times that we should come together and go, yeah, this isn't a partisan issue. This is, and I think that they really did show the American people that partisanship on their behalf is above all else. And even those things that we consider that shouldn't be partisan at all. And I have to believe, and I from what I saw, there was some polling that was done that about 65% of Democrats believe that they made mistakes by doing this. I would have thought it'd been higher than that.
Yeah.
But But look, the president brought out some very good things. You don't have to agree with him, but there are certain things. And also, you don't have to agree with him, but there is certain respect that needs to be to the office. And they chose not to do that.
Do you feel as though they seem to be kind of rudderless at this point? And we have a poll every day, and today's poll is asking if they can get their act together in time to make gains in the midterms. Traditionally, you'd see the Democrat Party pick up some seats, and you know, you didn't have to pick up very many seats, and the majority is going to switch, at least in the House. How do you feel about where the Democrat Party will be come midterm?
They do need to change, and some of their major leaders have told them that, but they can't get away from them. Their radical left. The radical left won't let them get away from it. And so based on that, unless somebody talks them into repositioning, which they will not, then yes, we are going to, my hope is, you know, as a Republican, I'm more than hoping that we're going to gain some. We have like 15 seats that were Donald Trump seats that Democrats are in. And, you know, if they keep holding like this, we'll pick those seats up. And we've got a couple more seats that would be targets for them that we will actually keep because we are actually governing. And so I don't see them gaining. It's a long time. That's just it. We've only been doing this a month and a half under this president, but even though it feels like we've been doing it for 2 years already, and with all the things we've accomplished and he's accomplished, unless they actually realize that we have to start working together, and they aren't. Now, today's vote was kind of, as you said, the amount of people that said, okay, yeah, we do need to think of it.
So we're speaking with Congressman Mike Boss. He represents Illinois' 12th district. He's also the chair of the House Veterans Affairs Committee. Do you feel as though, you know, this budget, the House was able to pass their bill, Senate's passed a bill. Can you give us a little bit of an update on where this process is, especially the procedural stuff?
Yeah. So what we did was we passed the one big, beautiful bill, in the words of the president, out of the House. And that's the first step on moving forward. So the House, you know, advances this budget bill and the blueprint that lays over and goes into, because of reconciliation, this is the one thing that we can come to agreement on. And it doesn't require 60 votes before it requires a simple majority of 50 votes in the Senate. So basically, what we're doing is, in this bill, we're unleashing the American-made energy. We're cutting reckless government spending. We're doing the $4.5 trillion tax reinstatement of the tax of 2017 so that people don't have a huge tax increase on them. Critics are said we couldn't get it done in the House. We did get it done in the House. Now the Senate has to take it over there. Hopefully they take it up. Now, what modifications they do through the reconciliation process, we hope they leave it alone. We believe that it has, and President Trump tweeted out that this is his bill, what he wants. So I believe that the Senate will take it up, and I believe it'll get the pet bills passed it needs. Now, once you're through that, and you got to deal with all the other things, now we're back to the 60-vote thing. And that's why people need to understand that there's a reason why in the bill, and as much as you hate a debt limit increase, by having that in there, what it does is, that doesn't mean Trump's administration is going to spend past that debt limit, but if we can't get a budget passed and we have to vote on that, then Chuck Schumer will be back at the table. Where if we do it during reconciliation like we're trying, he can't come back to the table at that, because that's always going to cost the American people a whole lot more. Now, what I do see is the president will be talking, well, next week when we go back, there is going to be a continuing resolution, and most people hate continuing resolution. That's because most times the Democrats control the continuing resolution. All this will do is it'll give the president time to negotiate, to get his bills that he needs across the finish line, and the government doesn't shut down. I believe we'll get that passed out of the House. As we pass it out of the House, the Senate will have to take it up. Now, the Senate, in that case, does require 60 votes, which means Chuck Schumer can say, I don't want to pass this continuing resolution for whatever reason. I'm going to hold it up. Well, then all of a sudden, it isn't the Republican shutting down government. It is Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer's never been real good at being able to hold that. The last time he swore he was going to shut down government, he shut it down on a Friday. And I think voted on Sunday to put it back in, to go through it. So he's never been good at that. And not saying that's good, because a government shutdown is bad.
Yeah. Right.
Congressman Boston.
So that's
yeah. Oddly, this has been usually a budget bill, just kind of is background noise to most Americans. It's a big deal in Congress, and it's a big deal for those watching. But in this one in particular, I don't know if it's because of DOGE and because of all the news, but I've had more people come up to me and ask me, how's Congress doing with the budget bill, than I've ever had before. And so go ahead.
Here's the thing why. Do you know, and that's what people don't, that's why I hate CRs, continuing resolutions, and not, but now by being able to unite government, we can't have the Senate hold us hostage for this budget bill, like I said, so we'll be able to move it, but it's going to take a little while, and we will go past that date where the other budget, where our continuing resolution moves it. The importance of it is this. Do you know that because of CRs, continuing resolutions, which mean you continue to operate on the old budget, we're still operating on the old budget that Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats passed under Joe Biden during COVID.
Oh.
So it was the most expensive budget that you've ever seen. So it's still, every time we do a CR, that continues on. So the people have all of a sudden said, if we want to get this straightened out, and we need to calm the spending down, and we need to reduce the size of the overall government, you got to pass a budget.
Right.
That's how long we've been on this budget. Think about that.
It's expensive. And boy, have times changed in many times over since the middle of COVID. You're the chair of the House Veterans Affairs Committee, and I want to give you the opportunity to speak to cuts are taking place everywhere. Yeah. What about where our veterans are concerned? What do you expect?
Let me tell you. I'm very good friends, and when I tell you that the secretary and I are close friends, we're very close friends. He knows my district well. He's from Georgia, but he was a former member from Georgia.
Doug Collins.
And Doug Collins, that's right. And Doug and I and the secretary, now that I have to call him that, I and the secretary were on a phone till 11 o'clock last night. We were back on the phone at 7:30 this morning. We were in a meeting at 8:30 this morning. The problem is that Democrats are screaming all these cuts and it's going to affect services for our veterans. No. We're going to cure. We're going to make the money that we spend on our veterans go to truly taking care of our veterans, meeting the requirements the veterans need, doing it in a wise way and an efficient way. Right now, first off, and this is how the Democrats scream and yell. When we first came in, there were some, what they did was they froze and there are people that were on, so you have a probationary period. Sometimes it's a year, sometimes it's 18 months. And at any time during that time, you can just lay someone off, okay, to try to reduce staffing for cause because they weren't doing the job well, one because they weren't necessary jobs. So what he did was he was first originally, there were about 6,000 or 7,000 jobs. And then by the time you settled it down, because essential jobs in the VA, doctors, nurses, all of that, those weren't cut. But the Democrats started screaming there was going to be this huge cut. They used the number 2,000, but by the time it's said and done, it was less than 500 in the original thing that we did. Now, here's the important thing to remember. Annie, do you have off the top of your head the amount of employees that are at VA in this world?
No, I have no idea.
470,000. And we laid off, and we did less than 500.
Yeah.
So now what we are going to see, though, because the president sent out word that he's wanting to see all agencies try to back to the 2019 era budget, which was pre-COVID, right? So the secretary is trying his best to figure that out. He actually put a memo out to hit, and this is where deep state is real, okay? And this is the things he's dealing with. So he put a high-level employee email out to basically say we were going to be required to reduce at about a 15% level. Well, so then somebody calculated out that 15% reduction, because that's what it takes to get it back to the 2019 era, is 80,000 employees, okay? So they actually released that there were 20 higher echelon employees, upper management, that they have realize that they leaked it to the press. That is the deep state. Mm. So there's going to be some heads roll, but we are going to, and I have sent out the press release as the chairman. I will be working with the Veterans Service Organization, the VFWs, all of VFWs, the Legion, all of these groups, and there's a lot of them. If they need to tell me where there has actually been the firing and its affected services, we need to know that. Because like I said, exempt are the docs, and the, you know, how about this? Another one that's exempt because, and you got to know what in HR, what the description is. The person that takes care of somebody who's a quadriplegic is a physical, it almost sounds like an athletic trainer.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's not their job. Okay. So first HR came in and said, okay, those will be reduced. And then all of a sudden we told them what the job was. Then they go, yeah, we're not reducing that. So all of this we're going through, and I will be working, and that's what my press release said, right side by side with our veterans organizations, with my colleagues in the House, those members of my committee on the Republican side of the aisle, and the secretary, which is the administration, to make sure no veterans lose their services, that they're guaranteed, that they still get the quality, if not even better, because we have had a lot of failure. The example is the amount of employees that we have increased in the VA since the passage of the PACT Act and since COVID is a case where we've increased that great big budget, but yet when Trump left office, our list of people that still had to be dealt with, that's a legacy list of people with their claims, was 45,000. We've spent more money and the list is up to 275,000. So we're spending money, but we're not getting results. We need to find out why we're not getting results. The veteran deserves that. The bad thing is Democrats try to use scare tactics.
Sure.
That we're going to cut the veterans.
Yeah. And I never hear anything from them that's an alternative. It's just scare tactics. I want to sum it up this way, Congressman Bost. You chair the House Veterans Affairs Committee. You're having conversations last night with the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Doug Collins. Will Donald Trump's administration care for our veterans better or worse after these budget cuts, whatever you guys end up putting together? Will veterans be cared for in Donald Trump's administration?
They will be cared for, and the reason I will think that they would be cared for better is we're going to make sure that the services actually go to them, not the bureaucrats. And not only that, do we make sure that it goes to them and not the bureaucrats, because our veterans are taxpayers too, then they can be sure that their tax dollars are being spent wisely to provide for their needs.
Well, I think that's what matters. If you implement efficiency, that could also provide for better care. It's never been about just the dollar spent. We could just say, look at the Department of Education, for an example.
Well, we're going to be looking at that pretty hard next week.
I know. I'm like popcorn ready for that freak out. We will touch back with you soon on that. Congressman Bost, thank you for the insight here. A lot of people wanted to hear what you had to say about that.
Thank you for having me on.
We always love talking to
you. Thank you.
Bye-bye. A lot of people want to know about the veteran stuff. So I appreciate him giving the straight facts on what's actually being taken place. Like, if you spend $10 on something and you overspend for that thing by $4 and you cut the budget from $10 to $8 and now you're spending it on things that efficiently can deliver the service. Yes, there would be budget cuts, but not necessarily a provision cut. But that's not fun to talk about.
No, but I think we've finally gotten to a point in American history where America gets, because we've heard for so long that this agency, that agency, they just spend and spend and spend, and you know, nobody really knows where it goes. Now we're finally asking, can we find out where that goes?
Yeah.
Can we find out if it's actually doing anything? And we have people in charge doing that.
And the Democrats pearl clutch and go, oh, no.
What a terrible position to take.
No, you cannot. And if you want to look behind that curtain, you hate those people. It's actually quite the opposite.
Yeah. The signs at the State of the Union, save Medicaid. How many times does Donald Trump need to say, we're not touching it, we're keeping it, we're just making it better for the people who have it?
Yeah. Well, that was a really long conversation with Congressman Voss. We're going to take a quick break here. We can quickly touch on the YouTube live chat poll. Can the Democrat Party recover in time to make gains in the midterm election? I'm going to read a few of your responses that we have here on the Annie Fry YouTube channel, the live broadcast and the live chat. Leave a comment, leave a vote. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk. We're happy that you're here with us, and we're happy to be here with you. The YouTube live chat poll, can the Democratic Party recover in time to make gains in the midterm election? Yes or no? We haven't discussed this here amongst ourselves quite yet. I want to get to a couple of your comments, your thoughts, as you are leaving them on the YouTube channel. Vicky said no, unless they get back to being moderate, which sounds like yes, they could. They're flailing right now in wild affair. Russell says, yes, not everyone is in tune with the lunacy going on with the Democrats. So, yes, they will get their voters. Betsy says, no. However, anything is possible. Never say never. So maybe that's a yes.
Also, yes.
What do you think?
Well, I'm a 100% yes on this. Because the question is, can the Democrat Party recover in time to make gains in the midterms? That's a long way away. There could be a whole lot of events domestically, internationally, that could affect that vote. The Democrats just find themselves happen to be on the right side on. Who
can
knows?
You give me an example of a hypothetical that would be that?
That would be
a world global event.
Yeah, Russia takes Ukraine. They would go nuts and say, Trump planned this. He's Putin's friend, and he did this on purpose.
I don't know that there are enough people who are plugged into the political scene who care more about the outcome of that. And, you know, I'm just saying facts. I'm not really advocating one way or the other, because that would be a huge concern for NATO countries, because my understanding is you get through Ukraine and that you're sharing a border with NATO countries.
Mm-hmm.
That people, I don't know that people pay that much attention.
Another one would be if the economy absolutely tanks. I mean, we go into full recession, depression.
I think that's about the only one.
Depending on the timing of the Russia thing, like if it keeps going and then it goes into next year and that happens, I don't know. I mean, I'm just pulling out hypotheticals.
To me, the Russia-Ukraine thing, that I think people are where they are on that. Mm-hmm. I think that there's way more gray area in the tax dollars that are spent on it, and also the understanding that this is a murderous dictator in Vladimir Putin doing terrible things, and we're watching Ukraine pass on the opportunity at this moment in time, that's going to change quickly, to establish peace through partnership with the United States. Zelensky thinking he's going to get his entire country back, that's not going to happen. And we're not going there to fight. You know, the thing that would, to me, be like the most catastrophic is if we send people over there to fight, which Trump is not going to do.
No, he's not going to do that.
Your point on the economy, though, if tariffs turn out to be the dumbest thing that we've ever done, being the economy, then
even if they're not and the economy tanks, people are going to blame the tariffs. And there will be talking points that work for them on that.
Can the Democratic Party recover in time to make gains in the midterm election? You are emphatic. Yes.
Yes.
I'll tell you right now that it's a pretty close vote. So if you want to go in and leave your thoughts and your comments and leave a vote, you might be able to persuade us one way or the other. Please do. Annie Fry YouTube channel, youtube.com/@AnnieFry. Go subscribe. We're getting close to 12,000 subscribers. Why don't you be one of them? We'll be right back.